You're listening to The Naked Podcast. I'm Sharon Gidron, an authentic communication expert and public speaking trainer. And yes, we are going to actually get naked here. In each episode, we dive together, me and another person, into the unknown, allowing our bodies, self-image, and awkwardness to be on the table. No, we're not trying to be smart or to give you great insights. The idea of this podcast is to take a leap and explore intimacy between people, and that's exactly what you're going to hear. So I invite you to take a breath and enjoy the ride.
I want to welcome all listeners to the first episode of The Naked Podcast in English.
That's great.
Yes.
And it's a great honor to be the first one.
Yeah.
To be your first one.
Yeah. In a sense, you're going to be my first. I'm an English podcast virgin. And I'm very happy to have my dear friend, Mr. P, to be my guest here in Croatia.
I must confess that it's also my first English podcast.
So we are both into this unknown experience together, and I'm very, very excited. Do you want to introduce yourself before we get into our ritual?
My best description is that I'm an engineer. I adore engineering.
I'd like to tell the story of how I met you, okay?
Okay.
So it was in a conference in Tel Aviv. Conference about movement, where we both, in which we both participated, and you were in my workshop, so we kind of already started to know each other. And then I saw you going on stage to give your presentation. What you were wearing, you know, very formal men's clothes, dark pants, and a white button-down shirt. With stiletto heels, which are high heels, like ladies' shoes. They were black, very elegant. And I was just in shock, like, who is this guy? What am I seeing? You gave a wonderful presentation about, I don't even remember what, very professional stuff. But I really felt that I have to inquire about that. And since then, we became friends. And here we meet again, this time in Croatia.
Yeah, actually, you're wrong.
Those
were not stilettos. Stilettos are very thin heels.
Okay.
Those were not that thin. They were like a thumb. And they were very classical, very close, something very innocent. They were ankle-high boots, completely closed. But yes, they had high heels. Well, this was also my first. I never did this before. And, of course, the reason was my desire to try something like this.
When you say it was your first, do you mean it was your first time wearing high heels or the first time doing it in front of an audience like that?
First time doing it in front of the audience and giving a presentation of my full name. And part of the decision that I finally do it, because to the last moment I didn't know whether I'll do it or not, was you. And my experience with your workshop just prior to my section, because it was very, it was very encouraging to all of us to experience us, our body. You know, with high heels, there is a lot of things. Yes, they are unhealthy. Yes, they are killing your legs. But the feeling you get wearing high heels in your spine, in your legs, is quite different and exquisite. And if you don't do it all, it's interesting and exciting. The way you walk, the way you behave. And there is something royal. From my perspective,
royal.
There is something royal.
Interesting.
Gives me a feeling of a queen or a king. By the way, you know, everybody knows that Louis XIV invented high heels. The king.
No, I did not know that.
You didn't
know
that? Well, the king, he was short, and he invented high heels.
He invented the high heels?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really new to me.
And in the, for instance, in our language, if you want to say that somebody is rich and living this richness, not saving the money, but using the richness to live good.
Living like a prince, yes?
Living like a prince, maybe even living above his abilities.
Okay.
Maybe spending a little bit more. Then you would say that he's living on a high hill.
Oh, beautiful. Okay.
And this was limited to aristocracy only.
Cool. And you are 10 years above me in age, right?
Yeah.
You are 62 and I'm 52.
But I don't feel like that.
You don't feel like that. You don't look like that. But maybe we can talk also about age and you know, our place in the life circle. Could be interesting. And I think we are about to embark on our ritual. Yeah, we didn't really gather here in order to have this conversation where we're just sitting like people sit in a cafe and talk.
Yes. Also, it's not free. I have to do something.
Yes, exactly. We both do. So, we are gradually, Mr. P and I are going to take off our clothes item by item, and with each item, we're going to take turns. So meanwhile, I invite you to think whether you want to be the first or the second in our little game or ritual. And with each item that we're going to take off, we're also going to take off something that doesn't allow us to be fully present in this encounter. It could be, you know, thoughts about work. It could be self-criticism, whatever we want to peel off for now, at least for this ritual. We could also, when we take something off, clothing item, we can declare what we want to show, what we want to reveal by taking off that item, what part of us, what maybe inner part of us or outer we want to now, you know, make place for, make room for. Okay, so this is the path that we're going to go on, and we're going to keep on this conversation while we do that. All right, okay. Sounds good.
I think I should go first because I have more clothes. So
okay,
it would be more interesting. Cool.
But before we do that, I want to remind also our listeners that you guys have a body just like us. Wait. Mr. P is starting already to unbutton his top shirt. But wait, we're going to do it with intention. It's a part of the ritual. Let's both take a breath, and all of you together along with us. Just pay attention to our body right now. To what is. Okay. So it's your turn. What are you taking off, and what else are you taking off with your item?
I'm taking off my shirt, which is always shows some type of a status or intention.
It's a button-down shirt, like a man's shirt. Yeah.
Or the job you do. And with this shirt, I would like to get rid of my need to please everybody else.
Amen. I'm sure so many people feel the same way. We all have, to some extent, this thing. Oh, and he threw the shirt aside. How does it feel now?
Good.
Good. Nice. So we have a, how do you call this?
Undershirt.
Undershirt, yes. A white undershirt and long jeans that you're wearing and socks even. Oh my God, you have so many items that you're wearing. Okay, so it's my turn.
Yeah.
I'm going to take off my dress. And actually, we made some change of plans today. I didn't know that we were going to do it now, the recording. So I have a dress that maybe I'll need your help with a zipper. Normally, I wouldn't come with such a dress to this podcast because it has no touch in it. But since we're good friends and I feel comfortable, maybe I'll ask for your help.
What a privilege to undress a beautiful woman.
Okay, so it's a dress, it's a short dress. Wait, I'm going to try to do it on my own. Maybe what you can do is describe meanwhile what you see or what
I know. It's a beautiful white dress with various types of birds on it.
Right.
Various species of birds. So it's very spring-like or summer-like. Knee high. Oh, it is silky underlining. Yeah, and beautiful beige underwear.
And I took it off.
And she took it off. And what do you want to get rid of?
Oh, right, I didn't say. I want to get rid of my a bit of stress, like it's the first time that I'm not conducting this interview in my own clinic in Israel. So, like, I feel the fact that this is not, you know, my own equipment, and I want to...
It's improvised studio?
Yes, a beautiful studio. So I would like to, to leave behind a layer of uncertainty and just feel really grounded and really connected to this place.
Great.
Yeah.
You said that we should also say, what do we want to show off? Well,
right.
Being an engineer, being a serious male, always in charge of some projects and responsibilities, I would like to be able to display also my less serious side. I don't think, it doesn't necessarily mean it's unserious, it's not important. But quite to the opposite. These parts of us are also very important. But sometimes men, especially men in management and other positions, feel they are not supposed to show them. You're not supposed to be funny, you're not supposed to be relaxed, you're not supposed to be anything. You always have to be very serious.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it doesn't... It feels good to be playful.
What do you want to show with your...
What do I want to show? Well, it's like I want to make room for my body. When it's packaged in a dress, so it is very, it looks nice, yes? And it also feels nice, but it feels packaged. I also have the bra, so I soon will take it off and feel even less packaged. Something about taking clothes off just makes me feel that I have more space for myself.
That's interesting because indeed clothes, if properly chosen, can make different impressions or messages, and we can feel differently, we can make different impressions to people. But the problem is if we take clothes as our armor, as a thing to hide our body because we are self-conscious or because we are ashamed in any way of parts of our body. And this quite frequently happens in our culture, in Western culture. So, I appreciate what you want to say, that we sometimes need to feel ability to simply show ourselves, our body.
Yeah. Another thing that I'm sensing right now that I'm sitting in underwear actually. Right. I sense the room with my body in a much more present way. I my back can sense the temperature of the room, so I feel more connected to the room and to this conversation and everything. So I think it's your turn.
Yeah, well, the next is trousers.
All right. So Mr. P is standing up and he's like unzipping his jeans and just taking it off gently, keeping balance. I want to say that he has kind of long hair. Oh, you're going to see the photo. It's going to be a part of that. But like a carré, a haircut. So you have... Like, also without the cross-dressing that we're going to maybe talk about, like, you have the hair that is not typical you know,
military short
haircut, but your hair is loose. How does it feel now to sit here in underpants and under shirts?
Something on the line that you mentioned earlier. I'm a pretty talkative person, and I give a lot of public presentations in all sorts of audiences and topics. And I never had a problem with it. Actually, I never had stage fright. Never, ever. But just standing in front of people, even in full clothes, doing nothing, I don't feel so competent. I don't feel so important. I don't feel so attractive or whatever, interesting to people.
Oh, you mean just standing without talking?
Just standing without talking, without giving anything, without doing anything, just being. And then, especially if you start peeling the layers of clothing that again send some message or describe you in some way or give you status in some way, is even more feeling more vulnerable. And I would feel extremely vulnerable if it were not such an intimate environment and if we were not friends.
And did you say what you're taking off with your jeans?
No. Well, yes, this need to be serious and protected.
Mm. Okay.
I want to be able to be vulnerable but comfortable with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can relate to that totally.
And what I want to show? I want to show my other abilities, non-engineering, like artistic, which I don't have, but I would like to acquire. Because a brief notion, again, in this Western culture, many of us believe that we can do something, for instance, dance or sing or write poems, only if we have a degree, if somebody else says that you are good at it, or if it's useful.
Yes.
If you're not good at it, if you don't have a degree, and there's no use of what you do, then you're not supposed to do that. So you can't dance if you are a bad dancer.
You can't sing. You dance ballet.
Yeah, I do, but I don't feel very competent in it. But now I want to be able to feel good in doing things which are not my... things that I'm not very good at.
Yeah. Let's take a breath. I feel the need. Okay, so it's my turn now.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to take off my bra, and what I want to leave behind, well, I wish I could leave behind the need to wear a bra, because most of the time, like, it definitely doesn't feel better. I do think it looks better, because, you know, it puts my breasts in a certain shape that our culture likes. But I breathe better without a bra, actually. And as a woman, I'm so used to wearing a bra that it's hard for me to see myself in the mirror without it when I go out. So actually, I already opened it. So now it's kind of gradually falling from my body. And I'm just going to give it the last
push. In a sensual way. In a seductive way.
Yes.
Straps.
The strap and another strap. So now it's gone.
You let it accidentally fall over your shoulder.
Oh. Yeah. And what I'm exposing is my breast that I love, obviously.
Now that you mentioned, I've seen that many women who don't need a bra are wearing it because it's norm.
Yeah. Also, you cannot show nipples anymore.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you have very small boobs, but you have nipples in the end, so you need to somehow cover them.
Isn't it strange? First of all, medically or anatomically, biologically, evolutionary, it's strange that men have nipples too.
Yeah, it is.
Why do men have nipples? You know, we all have to breathe.
I don't know how to say it in English.
Yeah,
in Hebrew it's called zimim.
Fetus has this. I can't remember the name. The organ that fish have to breathe, and it's lost later. So also male fetus could lose nipples, but they don't. So why is it? But back to cultural thing, why is it acceptable in every culture that men show their nipples? And well, women don't.
Great questions, yes. It's not fair, that's for sure.
But what I wanted to ask you about your beautiful breasts,
yes,
is that many men are focused on breasts, and is the first thing that see in women. But I believe that all of us men believe that a woman with beautiful breasts, with breasts, feels special, and that she enjoys her breasts. And recently I started asking my lady friends about that, and they said, what? I never thought about it. I don't think about my breasts. How are you? Are you aware of your breasts? Do they bring you any satisfaction? Do you love them? Do you caress them? Do you feel them walking on the street, bouncing or not bouncing?
Well, it's a whole story, because you know my breasts, now they are this size and look, but throughout the years they have been all kinds of, you know, they're not the same. When I was a teenager, it took much time for them to grow. So I felt behind. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to have breasts already like my friends, and I had just nipples. And that was frustrating. Then the next phase, suddenly they loomed and they were huge. And it was so like woman-like or mother-like, and I was only 17. And it felt, first of all, heavy, and also like I wanted to be much more dynamic and like sport-oriented,
athletic.
Not sport, but like to have a more athletic body or youthful body, and it felt like psychologically heavy for me. And then in the age of 30, I had kids, you know, had my kids, and I breastfed, and that was amazing. Like, also, I want to say that when I was a teenager, actually, my breast attracted attention, like sexual attention, that I didn't always like. Mm-hmm. Because, and many girls, you know, you're just a girl with these breasts. You don't necessarily walk in the world with a purpose, with an intention to seduce men. But still, you are. That's actually what happens, right? And also in our modern culture, you know, breasts.
It's emphasized. Yes, it's emphasized
really
in marketing, in media.
So you kind of, I really struggling like how to go about them. On one hand, I enjoyed the attention. Like I knew that men wanted me for my breasts. And at times I would take advantage of it. But sometimes I didn't want it, but still I got it, you know. But I'm... like nowadays, or since I had kids and breastfed and totally enjoyed that, so they became in this shape and form, which is not too small and not too big, just like a Goldilocks and the three bears,
the right size.
Just the right size, and I love them. Like these are the breasts I wanted to have when I was 17, and I love them. I'm very proud of them. I wish I could just go out in the street and show them to everyone without feeling, obviously...
Somebody said that everything more than a handful is a waste.
Sometimes I love, in the podcast, or in my podcast in Hebrew, I meet some breasts, and I love big breasts. It's so cozy. It feels like, it looks like you can, you know, put your head on it, or you just, I don't know. It's very cozy.
For several years, I give ballet lessons to adult recreational dancers, and I've seen really all, not naked, but all shapes, sorts, sizes. Almost no woman who is satisfied with them. Everyone has some objection to her breasts. I've seen all shapes and sizes, and for me they're all beautiful. They're part of the womanhood, and actually the key is how you carry them.
In general, how you carry your body.
In general, exactly, how you carry your body.
I want to ask, how does it go together for you, or did you go through a process being an engineer and a classical ballet dancer, teacher?
Well, it happened accidentally. I never thought it would happen. It happened when I was 40-something. I was trying to find some place to exercise, to strengthen my back muscles. And the fitness is boring to me. I tried stretching in dance studio. It was nice, but a little bit boring. There was jazz dance. I ended up in jazz dance, in ballet, and was invited to classes to learn to become a teacher. Since I'm passionate about teaching just anything, I tried to do that. I liked it, loved it, and I do it occasionally.
And you give workshops about sensual movement for men.
Women and men.
Women and men.
Yeah.
What is sensual movement like in your life? What is the importance of it for you?
Well, it came about, it came from observing men and having a lot of experience working in a male profession, seeing how men are actually stiff in their bodies. And when they move, since I started teaching people how to dance, I usually in streets watch legs and how people walk, and then observe medical problems, bad habits. But what you can see, especially with men, men either walk from side to side, so they psychologically take as much space on the sidewalk as possible, or
the legs kind of shift weight.
Yeah, they swing from
left to right.
So that the shoulders would swing from left to right and take as much space as possible to be important. Or they walk heavily, like a bear. So they are, you know, strong. And I personally experienced how lively I feel with ballet posture when I'm upright, when my shoulders are light, and when I move like I'm gliding on a street. Everybody knows that if you basically move the way you feel, but also you feel the way you move.
That's my whole occupation is basically.
Yeah, this is the part that people are less aware of and less practice.
Yes, it goes both ways.
So see how I started. And of course, men, if they, in Western culture, if men makes any sensual movement or actually shows, I demonstrated in a workshop how you can drink from a bottle.
In a more sensual way.
Yeah, how you can drink.
It's very tantric, just so you know.
I didn't know.
Yes.
And if a man shows any sensuality, then it's under the question. We frown. We are not quite sure what this man actually wants to do. And especially with movement. And I wanted to show how much joy various movements in ballet, in belly dance.
But I want to ask you about your life. Like, how was it? For you, wasn't it challenging maybe, or to be moving in a style that is regarded as feminine? As did it like mix with your, like, am I this, am I that? Or did it bring questions from other people about, I don't know, your gender, your sexuality? I know that me, also with the heels that you wore, right away I thought to myself, okay, he's either gay or he's trans, and that's that. But you are not either, right?
So to put it at ease, I will tell you that me, I consider myself to be heterosexual because I don't find any sexual or romantic or erotic attraction in male.
Yes.
And normally a very boring person, boring engineer. Even for me, when I see a man in heels or in dress or in ballet, the first thought that shoots through my brain is, he a gay?
Yeah.
But this disappears after 5 milliseconds. Mm-hmm. But it is. And this is also one important lesson I learned, that we are all in our cultural soup and you cannot escape.
Yeah,
it is out of question if we turn this in prejudice and also limitations that we put on other people. But I was never questioning my sexuality or my masculinity or anything. I felt good in my role, my position, my whatever I'm at.
Yeah.
And I was never bothered with somebody else's doubts about me or questions. If somebody asked, I would politely answer.
Yeah.
If they believe, okay. If they don't, I don't care. But to come back to your question, how I felt learning this other type of movement, I started through dance, through jazz dance, which is not too much gendered. Jazz dancers dance all the same moves. The same is with ballet, only when pas de deux, when two dancers dance together, it's usually men with women.
Yes.
Then the male usually has a supporting role,
right,
while woman has more showing off role.
Yes, and you wanted to show off, I guess.
No, I love doing supports.
Okay.
I love doing supports. It's unbelievably heavy, not only physically, but also keeping the balance, taking care about her body. Oh, it's a whole story.
Okay.
But the question you said, I never felt ashamed to do any move. First of all, I'm very curious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious and love to experience things. On the other hand, since I can remember, I was attracted to female world.
Yeah.
I loved the cleanliness and nice smell of my little girlfriends.
Yeah.
I admired their dresses.
Yeah.
I loved, for instance, most interesting, the things I played as a kid, either in a sandbox, I would build some tunnels and things.
Where engineering.
Engineering. Yeah, where I could let my little cars drive around.
Yeah.
Or I would very much like to sew little dresses for the dolls of girls, but they rarely invited me and allowed me to play with them.
Of course.
But again, this is something constructive, you know, you create, and it was very nice to see them having all these dresses for their dolls and then combining them.
You know, I once heard a story about these two parents that they had a daughter and they wanted her to not, you know, take the sexual, the gender role. So instead of buying her dolls and, you know, stuff like that, dollhouse, they bought her trucks and little toy cars, etc. So she got all the trucks and had a tea party for the trucks. So sometimes...
Yeah.
But I want to say, it's your turn now.
It's my turn.
Let's move on with our ritual.
Yeah, I'm going to take off my shirt.
Yes. Your undershirt.
My undershirt.
Undershirt. Yes. This is wearing.
You
just did it in a very practical
way.
Yes. Now you're sitting in front of me with your white underwear.
With that undershirt, I want to take off any need to explain anybody why I do something, why I want something, why I like something.
Was it always like this for you? The need,
I always had to have a rational explanation why I do something. Why explain?
Okay.
It's not only cross dressing or dancing or something. My engineering job, I do differently. I always have different ideas. I never follow trends. I always question them. If the trend is okay, I have no problem following it.
Yeah.
But many times it's not.
Yeah.
Many times the things that get into trend fade off.
Wait, I want to ask you. Let's both of us take a breath for a second and just sense our body. Okay, we are sitting both of us with underwear. Our whole torso is now free. How does it feel to just be having
something strange just happened?
Yeah.
For the first time, I'm aware of my breasts. Being just opposite and so close to you and seeing your breasts and being naked, all of a sudden I'm aware of my breasts and then I'm being naked. Cool. Not in an unpleasant way, just in a unusual way.
It's like we're having a breast conversation.
Breast conversation.
Below
breast
the line. Like we are talking in our mouth
yeah.
and head, and below the line there's nipple to nipple conversation. energetic conversation, maybe.
I must tell something. Once one of the friends and therapists asked me, would you like to change anything on your body? And I said, no, absolutely not. But I do wonder and would like if there were possibility to experience how is it to have breasts.
Oh, yeah.
And then she said, but you do have breasts. And next time I was showering, I was thinking of that and I really started playing with my breasts and understood that I do really do have them.
Yeah.
Like many women have AA or AAA size breasts. What did you say? Falafel.
Falafel,
size.
Yeah.
So mine are small, but they are.
Yeah.
And the size of the breast doesn't necessarily mean level, the quantity of enjoyment they can bring.
Yeah.
To that matter of fact, your shoulder, your knee, your bottom, your belly, your feet, your ear, your neck, anything, we don't enjoy our bodies.
Right. There's a saying that the nipples or the breasts are like the eyes of the heart.
I hear this first time, but I have to think about it,
Yeah. Do you like your breasts?
Yeah, I started liking everything. Like every middle-aged man, I do have some extra fat on my belly.
Okay.
Those famous love handles. And long time I was ashamed of it. I wouldn't like to show it. I would suck it in.
Yeah.
And I felt of a less value because I have it.
Yeah.
That reduced. That became smaller.
Yeah.
I still would like to reduce some weight, but and I managed to do that, but not. There's still some way to go, but I'm less apprehensive about that.
I want to ask you about age.
Mm-hmm. What age?
Like I'm looking at age, and you know, and my parents are aging. Just thoughts about how gradually the body, you know, gives in to life, gives in to gravity, gives in. And since you are more advanced than me in that, at least in that
I'm in the
axis,
future. I'm in your future.
Yes, you are in the future. So I wonder, how do you feel about it? You had, like in the past, I'm not sure now if it's year or two, said goodbye to a parent, you went through a certain procedure, like how, anything to say about that aspect? Is it in your thoughts at all?
I don't think much about age, although every day I wonder how life has gone fast by.
Mm.
And in one point of time, several months ago, I became a little bit stressed, shocked, actually in this place, one evening dancing, realizing how little life I have left. And that was even before my heart attack.
Okay.
And I realized that, there are so many things I would like to do.
Yeah.
And it will go fast by. But one of the things is that I don't feel old.
Yes.
And I don't feel older than I was 20 or 30 years ago.
What do you feel different than 20 years ago?
I'm a little bit more patient.
Yeah.
Less stressed, less afraid.
Yeah.
Actually, the quality of my life is now at my peak.
I also relate to that, yes.
Yeah, I never felt that good in my life, and I would like it to stay like that. I don't want to be younger. That's not my obsession. But also, you know, the culture we live in. Just a few days ago, I was Googling young, youthful-looking grandmothers.
Okay.
And there was an article about that.
Yes.
And as example, it gives the grandmother that is 47, and the other is 54. And
wow.
From that perspective, these are old. From the perspective of the author,
yes.
The article, these are
old.
And also the other day, I was in a bank. I wanted a credit loan to build a house. And they said, oh, no, you're too old. We don't give loans
really?
To so old people. Yeah.
Wow.
So the culture is the one that is trying to convince us that we are old or not.
Yeah.
I've met people at the age of 30 who felt old and
right.
were closing their life. And I know people at the age of 90 who are very lively.
Yes.
So this is just a question of
and
your
if,
head.
If you could get together with yourself 20 years ago, anything you want, you would want to tell him?
Don't worry.
Yeah, that's just, I think it's a message that many people like. Yeah, thank you for that.
And you are beautiful.
Cool. Okay, so it's my turn, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to take off my underwear, and that's going to leave me.
Why don't you call it by the real name?
What is the real name?
Panties.
Panties. It's just because English is not my mother tongue, and I'm not used to using this word so much.
Okay.
But panties. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that. So I'll stand up for the occasion.
Yes. It's easier.
It is easier.
Although not impossible.
Oh, wait, I need to stretch my body a bit.
Yeah. You're beautiful, buddy.
Oh, thank you. And here I'm just pulling them off. You want me to take a
picture of you? Yes.
No. Not a picture.
Take a good look. Yeah. How do you feel showing off your body to me?
I like showing off my body. Whenever I feel safe.
You feel proud? You feel happy?
Yes.
Or a little bit worried, a little bit shy?
Processes that I'm going through in the past few years or more really made me feel more and more comfortable with my body. Yeah, so I like showing it, to have good eyes look at it. Yes, I like it. I feel also by looking at other people's nude, I know that it's really inspirational to watch a naked body.
You know, I went and I booked a session with a great photographer,
mm-hmm,
who does naked photographs,
yeah,
nudes with women. I booked a session with him to make a series of nude photographs of me.
Why did you do that? Why?
Why? I don't want to tell you why.
Uh-huh. You just felt like
I will tell you. No, I will tell you. The whole my development came to the point that one day I said, well, I need to do that because at the age of 90, I would be so angry at me that I didn't do it
okay,
the right time. So if you didn't do it earlier, it's the high time to do it.
Yeah.
And why I want to tell the story, because from my point of view, when I came there, I didn't have too much shyness and problem being naked in front of him. But what I did have a lot of problem was posing.
Oh.
Because posing in the way I was raised and the environment, posing is showing off.
Okay, and you're not supposed to show off.
And you're not supposed to show off.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know how to do that, or I didn't dare to do.
Yeah.
So what I desperately wanted from the photographer is to order me, to tell me, take this pose, that pose, go there, come here, because then I'm excused. Then it's
right.
Not my fault.
It's not your will.
I'm just
of course,
a good scout.
You're just following orders.
Yeah, I'm just a good scout boy that's following orders.
Yeah.
But he was brutal. He said, no, you know why you came here. You just do what you want.
Yeah.
And that was very difficult for me. So
mm-hmm,
it's an interesting thing. Not the nudity, but posing.
Yeah.
Even
yeah,
even in clothes. In
yes,
clothes.
Yes, yes.
We started with a shirt on, etc.
But wait, but when you wear women's clothes, it's totally about showing off, no? Because what you wear is always like strong colors, sexy figures. It's not like granny's clothing.
Well, to be very truthful, I don't know.
I want to say it's an important thing because many times our inner processes are not such that are well explained, but they are very bright and clear, you know?
My scientific and engineering part wants to know the reason.
Yes.
But the good thing is that my soul no longer needs. Previously, I desperately was seeking for explanation.
Yes.
As an excuse, because I had to excuse. As I said a little bit earlier, I took things off, trying not to have this obligation to explain why I do things. Now, I don't have to have explanation. I'm just curious intellectual level.
Not just intellectual, in the body level also,
okay.
I think.
But this is a good question that you asked, in a sense that, yeah, when I dress female clothes, and this is something I was attracted since ever, I've never dared to do, only recently I started doing it even in public.
Yeah.
In public, when I'm traveling and other places. There are many reasons. One is experiment. Sometimes I like to dress ugly.
Really?
Yes, because it is the ultimate courage and ultimate self-confidence.
Well, I'm unable to do that. I have to tell you that I really, in many ways, I can shift forms and I can be all kinds of myself. But to dress ugly, like intentionally, I'm well aware that I'm unable to do that. Also, we have this holiday where we wear costumes.
Yeah.
It's called Purim. And it's really difficult for me to wear a costume that is not, like, that does not present me as beautiful. Mm-hmm. But what I do like to do lately is dress as a man. Mm-hmm. I wear my husband's clothes. And that's fun. That relieves me of the need to really be pretty in my body.
One of the reasons that many crossdressers report, and me included, that when dressing, in a way you leave your life obligations, duties, roles mm-hmm. aside.
Yeah.
Now you can get rid of them. Oh, finally breathe. And finally be everything else.
Yes.
So one of the things is then you can show, that I can show off. And yeah. Then I like to wear pretty clothes. Although, one important thing that I started to understand is that the reason why I admired women in their clothes and wanted to dress like them is because I wrongly thought that a beautiful woman in a beautiful dress must feel wonderful, self-confident.
Yes. And
wonderful.
That's what you wanted for yourself, obviously.
And I actually didn't long for that dress. I was longing for that feeling.
Feel beautiful.
To feel confident, beautiful, wanted, just by being yourself.
Yes.
And when I realized that, a lot of tension went away. Because even when I was dressing, then I had this pressure to be perfect. You know, I have to be, when I dress in a female clothes, I have to look wonderful. If there's any mistake, it will be disastrous.
Okay.
Now I
love it. And that doesn't make you feel beautiful, practical stress.
Exactly. Now it's different. But tell us, what did you take off by taking your panties?
Yes, I forgot to take anything off.
And what do you want to show?
I took off the shame. The shame of being my body. The shame of being a body. Of having body instincts and impulses. It's a shame that I've been taking off, and there's always more of it to take more off. So that's what I'm taking off. And what I'm revealing is my... maybe you were talking about all those roles, and I would like to reveal that I have other, that I can be other roles. Mm-hmm. To reveal it to myself even. Mm-hmm. to reveal the freedom of taking all kinds of roles. Yes, that's what I would like to reveal.
Okay, my turn.
So, yes.
I'll take off my pants, panties? Briefs, panties, whatever.
Do you call panties also for a man? No.
No, they call them briefs or boxers or whatever.
Okay.
I'll take them off and exactly like you, I want to take off all my shame.
All right. I'm not sure that all your shame will be taken off. But at least one layer of it will most probably. So he's standing just in front of me, and he's kind of wiggling his body, wiggling. Yes, his butt. Hello.
Hello.
And he's naked. With socks.
They remain.
Okay.
What I want to show is all my vulnerability.
Mm.
So that Nobody can hurt me.
Oh.
It's there. Look. Laugh. Yeah. Criticize. Attack.
Wait, as
you
a
can't
kid,
do me anything.
As a kid, were you... How were you with kids in class? Like, were you ridiculed for your attraction to...
Well, I didn't show my attraction to female clothes when I was a kid. I started experimenting with it when I was 40.
Okay.
I didn't dare.
Yeah.
But yes, I was the shy kid. Mm. I wasn't with bullies. I wasn't in sports. I wasn't bullied.
Yeah.
I wasn't bullied. Because of my intelligence and intellectual success,
yeah.
They didn't, nobody touched me. But I didn't have too many friends and...
Okay, I want to talk about your penis. Is that okay?
Well, if that's what attracts you, be my guest.
Is that fine with you? That
yeah,
you
it's
like
okay.
This fact?
Yeah.
First of all, I want to say that in English, the name penis is easy for me to use. While in Hebrew, we have... like three words. One is too intellectual, the other is too street, you know, dirty, and I always struggle with that. So penis is just like, for me, it's like saying a hand or a head or a leg and penis. So I'm enjoying that.
Well, it's similar for us.
Yeah.
We use penis,
yes,
which is medical anatomical
right.
term and sounds a little bit too intellectual. You're ashamed to say the real word?
No, well, like, what would you call it?
If you say penis, then people would say, oh, you're ashamed to use the real word.
Oh, okay.
The other word is a dirty word. And
which
since
one?
It's used... Kurats.
Kurats?
Yes. And
kurats.
Since it is used in swearing and attacking other people and arguments and whatever, or... Many people use it as a buzzword, as a you know the word they use very frequently without
like
any
fuck, like we say fuck.
Yeah, without any reason.
So you just say kurats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go.
How do you say it? I want to hear it.
Idiot kurats.
Idiot kurats.
Yes, exactly. The third one is pimpek.
Pimpek.
Yes, and this is usually used for kids.
Mm, okay.
So if you use it for adult men, then so basically we don't have a nice, decent...
Well, is it with an N or M? Pimpek?
M.
Pimpek.
Yes. Okay. So we also don't have a nice word for this beautiful
How
instrument.
How do you call it?
I don't call it.
You don't? It comes on itself.
I don't talk much about it.
Mm.
I don't talk much about that organ because I don't have any interest in other men's... And in my own, I don't talk about it.
Do you like it though? Do you like it?
Like with all
your
parts,
pimpak?
Like with all parts of my body, I'm trying to be more aware of it and appreciate that I have it. And only recently I started thinking about it and said, yeah, it's a nice thing I have here. Yeah.
Obviously. But I'm asking
you. Well, definitely brings a lot of joy. Yeah.
Yeah. But
this little device, joystick. This little joystick.
Also, actually, it's really interesting because of the... I think that the English creates for me a certain detachment, a certain distance.
Yeah.
So actually, it's much easier for me to address the subject in a more direct way. I really feel
it. But you know, I told you that I started asking my lady friends about the boobs. And
yes.
They said, I don't give it much thought.
Yeah.
Then me being the way I am, I said... Am I behaving like this? And yes, I'm not talking about my pimpek. I'm not talking about my penis. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not enjoying it. I'm not touching it. You know, you would think, you know, the movies when a beautiful lady showers, then she caresses her body, she caresses her breasts. And I was always, I couldn't stop watching these scenes because again, now I realize I wanted to feel that satisfaction with the body. She has.
Yes.
I was not focused on her. I was focused on
how
feeling
she feels.
How she feels, how I wanted to feel. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's only recently I became aware. And then I said, okay, so do you enjoy that much? Do you caress your pimpek or legs or whatever?
Kurats. I like this word.
Actually, I have to confess that the first part of my body that I became really consciously aware of and started enjoying were my legs.
Oh, okay.
And I realized one day that I have auto-erotic feelings. Mm. I mean, I get erotically aroused yeah. when I watch my legs.
Is this watching them?
Just watching them.
Wow.
I don't even have to touch them.
Yeah.
And especially if I wear a fine pair of nylons. Mm. They make like even more beautiful.
Of tights, you mean tights, yeah?
Various cultures, nations, and languages have different...
Okay, so I want to make sure that Israelis understand.
Okay, in my perspective, there's a huge discussion in lovers' forums, over the internet too. What is tight? What is pantyhose?
Okay.
Tights are thick.
Okay.
So, yeah, thin pair of stockings. Okay. Something yeah, like so 15, yeah. 15 or less, 15, 10, 8 then, yeah? Makes the leg look beautiful.
And, yes.
And when I realized that I had these feelings, I was not shocked, but I didn't like it. I thought it's not normal.
It's like obscene.
Yeah, it's obscene, you yes. know, to be excited by yourself. It sounded to me a little bit sick.
Yeah, although it's the most wonderful thing, like really to be excited without needing anything from the outside world.
It took me years.
Amazing.
It took me years through my shame of my belly and working with my dance teachers and therapists who were guiding us to start, like you in Tantra, to feel our body, yes. to touch our body, to appreciate the body and yeah. enjoy it. I said, hey, come on, I already enjoy my body, but I'm ashamed of it.
It's crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
It is.
Yeah.
I want to go back to your kurats and just to mention the fact that you are not circumcised, right?
Yeah, we don't do that. Not because we don't do this.
Okay, in Croatia.
It's unusual to do it.
So it's really interesting for me just to meet such an organ because my history is a Jewish history, my personal history with men. Is of Jewish people and they were all circumcised. So I get to see this option. Thank you.
I never gave it much thought, and I've seen it only in pictures.
Yeah.
But I believe that people like mystery mm-hmm. and hidden things. We like naked body.
Yeah.
But it's always also, you know, attractive and interesting when it's a little bit hidden, some veil, and then you slowly yes. undress, and then you hide. It's a game.
Yeah.
And we should play. Everybody has to play. You
know, yeah.
You cannot be too old to play, but it's also one of the taboos that adults, serious people, fathers, bosses,
right.
Managers are not supposed to play. They are supposed to be serious. Again,
yes, of course.
Once again.
That's what we're doing. We're yes. doing a very serious podcast.
So also with a penis, with a circumcised penis, everything's at display.
Right.
Well, this one has a little secret, and then you
for
can
sure.
tease, you can open it right. and close it, show or not. So it's much more playful yeah. in that way, I think.
Yes.
To me, circumcised seems as, again, serious. It's serious, serious thing.
Yeah.
It's supposed to do something, and that's it. You know, either fertilize or maybe give orgasm and that's it. Let's do it. Let's go.
Okay.
There's no play. There's no game. There's no enjoyment. There's no eroticism.
Interesting.
From my point of view.
Yeah, well, for me, it's not that I really gave it too much of a thought. It's a part of the culture and it's just what you do.
And I was always wondering if it's so exposed and the rubbing
yeah.
other one is... Is it becoming less sensitive or is
so,
it
yeah,
continuously irritated or what?
Yes, it is becoming. It is a bit less sensitive.
I mean, you know, the nature created that way. So why are you cutting this away?
I know. I'm not trying to defend this concept.
Like those crazy people who cut clitoris out.
It's a crazy crime. Actually, more and more people in Israel start to question this and really make other decisions than
yeah.
going with the flow, but it's a huge like cultural thing in Israel, and it's the norm. So hi.
Hi.
So how, I feel that something really shifted in your, like I see it with you, maybe it happened also to me, in your body, in your, in the movement of our conversation now that we're fully naked.
Yeah, I feel relaxed and you seem relaxed.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when we just put all these inhibitions beside with our clothes and can just really meet, you know.
So one thing that remains to be taken off are my socks,
right?
And I'll do this right now.
Okay.
And with this, actually, what I want to do is, it's maybe not getting rid, but I want to get grounded. Grounded in a sense to be me, very stable, me, feeling satisfaction in being me, not having whatever I said, not having to excuse myself, to explain myself, and to believe in my values, even when I don't do, give, or say something.
Yeah.
Because the whole value of myself that I constructed is through my talking, through my doing, through my giving.
Yes.
And if I don't talk, do, or give, I didn't feel any value to or my. And once when I started dancing, when I first time dared to look into the mirror, because I didn't dare, because I knew that I'm ugly.
Yeah.
Middle-aged man.
Yes.
Who dances awfully. And if I would see this with my eyes, I would never return to the dance class. So when I dared to do that, and I saw that I really am middle-aged, ugly, poor dancer, but that other women don't have problems dancing with me and talking to me, and they have interest in me without knowing what I'm doing. I was incognito there, anonymous. I watched them, and the strange thought came to me, and it was, I wish I could be, for once, a beautiful girl. You know how girls complain, oh, nobody's appreciating my brains, they just appreciate my looks. I wanted the opposite. I wanted that they don't appreciate me because of what I do, what I know, how smart I am,
but
just being. Because I thought that...
just like a flower.
Just like a flower, exactly. Right.
Yes.
Because, you know, a beautiful girl, woman, comes into the room and everybody is happy that she's there.
Right.
She doesn't have to do anything.
Just
everybody's just appreciating her presence.
Right.
I want that my presence is appreciated.
Yes.
That's what I wanted to feel. It was a strange thought.
No, not at all. I think most of us are so... I don't know. I can really relate to that. And I feel many of my students... In the courses for public speaking and relieving stage fright, they also feel that if I don't do it as good, or if I don't deliver this and that, you know, value, whatever, so I'm worthless. And that's how we were raised. You need to succeed. You need to get somewhere. You need to earn something, you know. You need to justify your being somehow, while every stone and tree and, I don't know, flower, just, you know, they have place in this world just because they exist.
One of the thoughts that I've put down from one of your workshops is although I'm very good in public performances, I'm really good, and I'm sore after, but important message that I wrote down is, well, the point is not the result, the goal you want to achieve with it, if you don't enjoy the process.
Yes.
If you don't enjoy even the speech. Now, I've been lucky that from the day one, from the first speech I gave, which was a professional speech, was at the age of 23. I always felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And I really truly enjoy and construct my every public appearance. Even the lectures I give regularly are a monodrama. They are theatrical piece. I never read, I never have a script. It's
okay.
Even the things that I've been speaking about 400 times, I always do something differently. But I truly immensely enjoy doing this.
Yeah.
Because I love the audience. I love giving something to them. And
yeah.
I love this process and playing with them and
with
drama that comes with it. But I wasn't aware of it. It wasn't on a conscious level. And you made me conscious about it, that this also needs to be said to people that I train how to make public speaking, that don't focus so much on, so I have to be perfect, as you said, I have to be perfect, I have to give them something, I have to try to enjoy more in the process, in the fact that you have the opportunity to talk to people, to appear, to dance to people,
mm-hmm.
to sing to people. Yeah.
And also something that I feel that I work on myself and also I teach is the idea of being effortless. Or it's not exactly effortless, because public speaking or many other things, communication is an effort. It's not nothing. But how to put the effort, the amount of effort that is needed and not more. So many times we do or we put more energy than is needed and then it drains us, you know? And so being connected to oneself, to your inner space while you communicate outwards is a really life-changing option.
For me, this has very broad meaning and impact, because everything I was doing, I was giving always 110% of myself,
yes.
which means everything I can, and I wanted to learn more and do more, which is great. But if you do it in just anything, it exhausts you so much that sometimes you lose the goal or you lose the satisfaction along this way.
Yeah.
And it has to be taken with measure.
Yes.
There are sometimes you give 110% of you, sometimes 100, sometimes 90.
Yes, or even 80.
or even 80.
So,
and now I'm learning to do that. It will take me the rest of the life to learn how to do that.
Yeah, for sure. It's a life journey. So we are about to end this amazing conversation.
If we have to.
How is your body feeling right now?
Great.
Just let's. What do you sense?
Peace, satisfaction, value.
I feel also relaxed. And I need to go to the bathroom. It's also something that the body needs occasionally.
Does it? Really?
Not with women, but with some people, yes.
Yeah,
some people
women do. Never do that.
Never, ever. No.
And perfect people.
So I think this celebration of the first ever Naked Podcast English episode was full of joy. And very interesting also. It was a pleasure to just have this talk with you.
Me too.
Yeah. And
I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like to experiment
and
experience. And I trust you. And one of my passions is to let myself in the hands of a professional.
Mm.
When I sense that somebody is a professional in some area, I love just letting myself. I trust you.
Yeah.
I trust you and I let you decide instead of me what is okay, what is not, what is dangerous, what is appropriate, what is whatever, desire.
Thank you very much for your trust and for your lovely body cooperating mm-hmm. with us. And thank you very much, dear audience, for listening to us. These episodes are going to happen in other places in the world as well soon. So if you want to invite me to your country to have a series of Naked Podcast episodes, email me to sharon.pshutot, pshutot@gmail.com. Thank you very much for listening.